And that is Dr. Stacy Benson. She is the co-founder, president, and CEO of STAND. And STAND is the Sex Offender Treatment and Assessment North Dakota. Stacy, welcome. You need to get right on the microphone.
All right.
You can adjust it. You can do whatever you want with it. Just don't bang on the table like everybody does. You might have to get closer than that to it.
How's this okay?
That is fantastic. Right. If you need to lower it, you can lower it too. Welcome to the Jay Thomas Show.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
A mutual friend of ours texted me earlier, said, you better be nice to my buddy. I said, come on, she's on the Jay Thomas Show. You know what's going to happen. No, I'm kidding. So, been a rough couple weeks for you?
It's been a ride, yeah.
You folks have been in a location. Well, first tell people what do you do at the Sex Offender Treatment and Assessment Program? I mean, it kind of speaks for itself, but sure. What does it do?
Sure. So STAND treats men, women, children, and families who have been impacted in some way by sexual harm.
Right? Okay.
So a lot of the folks that we treat have been convicted of sexual offenses.
Mm-hmm.
We also work with their families and their spouses, children, and parents. And then we have a number of people who have never committed a sexual offense, but they have been tempted to.
Okay.
And so they've contacted us and said, hey,
really?
I'd like some treatment.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Are there a lot of folks like that out there?
There are more than you would expect.
So they just feel like they're going to commit a sexual crime, or they've got the thoughts and they're like, you know what? I'm going to contact Stan here and get some help before I do something I shouldn't do.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
We've had calls from people that say, there's this girl that I sit next to at church, you know, or my stepdaughter. And we provide treatment for those individuals free of charge.
Okay.
Right? We'll get them in as soon as we can.
When somebody does that, do you then have to report them to the state? Or?
So that depends. We are mandated reporters.
Okay.
So it's a Class C felony for us not to report.
No. But I mean, if they call you, they haven't done anything.
We don't have to report
them. Then you don't have to report them.
We have to report if we have reason to believe there's imminent risk.
Sure. Okay.
So thoughts, fantasies, those are not reportable. But if anybody tells us about any action or plans to take an action,
sure.
Or if we feel like there's more risk here than we're comfortable with, then we have to report that.
Okay. And that makes sense. So the state, was it Department of Human Resources? Is that who did it?
Human Services.
Human Services in North Dakota ran this since, I believe, the 70s.
Yes.
And then they stopped because they just, couldn't swing it or it was getting too expensive. And then they came to you, doctor, and said, hey, look, will you run this program for us?
Yeah, there was a service gap where services were not being provided.
Mm-hmm.
And so at this point, STAND didn't exist yet.
Okay.
And so they asked if, you know, they knew me. I had worked for the state for 12 years. I had worked with offenders for a long time at that point. And they asked if I would be able to put together a treatment program to address this needed service gap.
And how long now have you been running STAND?
10 years.
Okay, so 10 years. And your current location, just so we get people schooled up what's going on here, your current location is by the Cass County Jail. You share that building, I believe, with parole and probation. Is that correct?
Yeah, parole and probation and DJS.
And again, DJS. You have basically outgrown the building. There's not enough room. You were told originally that, hey, well, let's put an addition. Engineers came in and said, this building cannot handle a second floor.
Yeah, well, it wasn't just that the building. So the structural engineer said, you know, in order to put a second floor on, you have to take the whole roof off, you know, and all sorts of. And then also, the more occupancy that you have, the more parking you need. So there wasn't enough parking. So it ended up not being feasible. We offered to pay to put a second floor on a building we rented because we wanted to stay there.
Okay.
So we went through quite a few steps to try to stay
there. It just at that point didn't pan out.
Yeah, I mean, there were multiple things we tried before that point.
Okay, so then you folks moved to the vacated Cornerstone Bank on University Drive, which is basically across the street from the Bowler. And that's where the issues came up. Somebody had reached out to me, a listener, before the story even broke, said, Jay, do you know what's going on? Have you seen this? And I'm looking. I'm like, I don't know what this is.
Yeah.
What am I looking at? And then I did some digging and found out what it was. And then I broke the story here. Actually, I had Michelle, Commissioner Turnberg in here at the time, and we were talking about something else. I said, do you know that this is going on? And she's like, I had no clue. Let me look into it. And then it took off from there. So you have a group of citizens in that neighborhood. And let me say this, and you and I were talking off the air about this. I understand their concern. If you guys showed up in my neighborhood, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go, wait a minute here. What's going on? Do I want, you know, sex offender treatment place in my neighborhood? Do I need to be worried? I got schools all around. I got daycares in my neighborhood. What about my property values? So I get all this. Although I did have people reach out to me, live in a neighborhood, and said, I have no problem with this because it's on a main thoroughfare. It's right there on University. It's not tucked away in a neighborhood. It's in a business. And this place is zoned. I mean, that's zoned business residential. So, yeah. you're good with the city. So anyway, you guys say, okay, word gets out. Thanks a lot, Jay Thomas. Word gets out that you're moving there. Residents get a group together. I had Trisha Pearson on the show yesterday, and we're going to get into some of the stuff that she talked about. They got together, had a meeting, people were upset. They felt like they were blindsided by this. And I understand that too, because until word got out, they had really no idea what was going on. So with that, I know now, have you talked with the group? You guys have talked back and forth. So I believe they said they've got this list of, when Trish was on here, say, hey, we found 25 places they can go. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Because you guys had looked for how long? A while, right?
Yeah, we started looking in 2021.
Yeah, so it's been a couple, 2-3 years. And you, what, 50 of them said, uh-uh.
So we won't rent to you.
And it's because they don't want to be in the news.
They don't want to be in the news.
That's what it is.
Yep.
Wow.
And so that at that point, that's when we had to look at buying. Mm-hmm. Because nobody was going to rent to us. So then we started looking at buying. And then in June, our landlord came to us and said, you know, you guys have been great tenants. We've never had any problems with you. She served as a reference for us for other locations. But parole and probation had outgrown their space.
Okay.
Parole and probation takes up 80% of the building.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We take up 10.
Greedy people.
And DJS takes up 10. So, I mean, as a businesswoman, she's like, I can't lose 80% of my rent to keep 10. Right?
Exactly.
And so she told us at that point, you know, when the money comes in from the biennium, you know, you will have to find another space. And we understood that. And
sure.
She's been a hero to us in this. She's the only one that's rented to us in all this time. And so we love her and are so incredibly grateful for her. But that accelerated our timeline.
Okay.
Because now we're going to be homeless when DJS would take over, or when DHS would take over our space.
And there's a group of citizens that are concerned, and I completely understand that. They started a group called the South University Drive Coalition. I had Trisha Pearson on with that group yesterday. And one of the things she brought up, Stace, was that, hey, you know, we found 25 locations. I think 23 of them are for purchase. And I'd made the comment, said, well, holy smokes, Stan looked for a couple, 2-3 years, and they couldn't find anything. 50 places you were turned down from. But you want to get some information out about these 25 locations that the South University Drive Coalition found. What's wrong with them, Stacey?
Well, first of all, we want to thank the South University Drive Coalition.
I thanked them yesterday, too, because there's a lot of times the groups will get together and they'll say, hey, not my backyard. I don't want this here. They'll raise hell. And then that's it. So I applaud them for trying. You know, they're not just raising hell and then just walking away from us. Look, we'll work with you. We'll help you find. But these 25 locations, I'm looking at the list. These really don't look viable.
Thank you. So one of them is $20 million.
Yeah, I saw that one.
For context, we have 2 clinical staff, and we're funded with state dollars. I think taxpayers would probably have a problem with us getting a $20 million building.
How much funding do you get from the state?
So it depends on the individuals that we see.
Okay,
right?
Okay.
So,
and your individuals are low and moderate,
so
not
we,
high?
We do have some high risk.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Individuals as well.
Okay.
So another one of the locations is an old airport hangar. One of the suggestions says buy land. Most of them are warehouses that are over $1 million and would need to be completely fit up.
So you got $1 million on the building. You're probably going to spend, depending on the size of the building, close to $1 million to fit it up, if not more.
Yes.
And you guys are not funded.
No.
Nearly close to that.
No, I think we paid, like, well, I shouldn't say we pay for rent, but we've like very reasonable rent.
Okay.
Some of them are closer to schools than the university location. Okay. Some of them are very, you know, one's 300 feet from a daycare. One is just steps away from a clinic that treats abused kids. Like these are, when I said that we might disagree on the viability of some of these locations, we're trying to be good neighbors to the South University Coalition, but we're also trying to be good neighbors to the rest of Fargo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I said, I'm looking, and again, I give kudos to the South University Drive Coalition for just not walking away saying, well, look, but again, just because there's a building there that's for sale or for lease, it doesn't mean that building is going to work out. And when I look at some of these buildings, this just basically would put you guys in somebody else's neighborhood.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's just, you know, that's just moving it. Yeah. Like one I see here, there's one suggestion, a partnership with the city on a health facility located behind CVS on 25th and 13th. Well, that's another neighborhood. So that's just not going to work out. And then you guys at Stan, so people know this. You have your own self-imposed limits that you have set up. It's not like you just plunk down and say, okay, this is where we're going to go. This is a cute building. This will work. Just so folks know, too, by the way, well, you know, why do they even do this? Well, North Dakota law requires that high-risk sex offenders, well, I shouldn't say that. That's the rules for sex offenders. But North Dakota law says that sex offenders have to go to treatment?
Well, North Dakota law says that North Dakota DHS has to provide.
That's it, yes. Treatment. Yeah, they have to provide the treatment. State doesn't do it anymore. They contract out with you, been doing it for 10 years now. Prior to you having it, Dr. Benson, where was it done?
So it's been done in a few different locations. It's been done at the Human Service Center. It's been done in North Fargo.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know where the last Human Service Center was. I don't remember what year they moved into their current building, but wherever the Human Service Center was before, like 1995 or whenever they moved into that building, it was done there.
Okay. So there are no laws limiting where sex offenders can seek services in North Dakota. And Stan, you guys actually have put your own limitations on how close you can be to conflicting businesses or schools. You looked for a location at least 2 miles away from schools and conflicting businesses. You have to be on a bus line.
We do.
And that, I believe is that federal law?
Well, it's for our federal contract.
Yes.
We have to be accessible by a bus line and by handicapped accessibility to our building.
And I know that Commissioner Turnberger, she was concerned about victims of domestic violence riding a bus with sex offenders. And I believe there is a map that came out. Basically, sex offenders, if they're already riding the bus in that neighborhood, I can't remember what the number is, amount of. Well,
there's 47 within 2 miles.
Within 2 miles of
there's
that new location.
There's 11 within one.
Okay.
And there's 3 within 500 feet.
Okay. So they're already there.
Yes.
Okay. Is the Cornerstone Bank a done deal?
Well, the Cornerstone Bank has been purchased.
Mm-hmm.
But Stand is probably 99% of the way towards coming to an agreement that will allow us to stay where we're at.
All right. It says, Jay, if Dr. Benson feels this possesses no risk, can you ask her why she doesn't just house Stan services at your own practice?
So we have worked to keep our sex offender location as far away from schools and daycares and conflicting businesses as possible. Our business treats children, and that would be considered a conflicting business. So we didn't put any extra limitations on our business, but we didn't put any less either.
Let's see, another message. What is this? Dr. Benson has previously said that the intention is to treat high-risk sex offenders at the location. Please, will you ask the doctor if she has any offers to buy the 2627 location? And then would you ask her where the funding for services comes from? Well, the funding's from the state, isn't it?
State and the federal government.
Yeah, yep. you get contracted out. So I don't know. Are there offers for your? Is that 2627? Is that the Cornerstone Bank location?
Yes.
Are there offers to buy that from other people?
Yes.
Okay. Like I said, I'm reading it as they come.
Yeah, I mean, there was an offer to buy, but that just would leave us homeless. Like, there was no place for us to go. So at the point that offer was on the table, that just wasn't an option for us.
Do you feel, this is another question I'm going to ask, do you think that you were being a good neighbor by just going in there, not talking to that neighborhood first and giving them a heads up?
Yeah, that's a great question. So one of the reasons that it took us so long to find a place is because we were very transparent mm-hmm. with the people that we rented from. We wouldn't go into, you know, the building without that. Once it came to buy, like, that was a private business buying a location. There wasn't, there really wasn't anything that required us to be able to do that. We had planned on talking to the neighborhood once we were there. If somebody has suggestions on how we might have reached out to the neighborhood ahead of time, I don't think we would have been met with, you know, brownies and cupcakes and welcome to our neighborhood. Yeah,
you're saying basically it would have made a difference. It would have been the same reaction.
Yeah, I think, you know, people are scared, and I understand that. And some of that comes from all the misinformation that was out there, that we're a California company, that we're housing people.
Yeah, let's talk about some of that misinformation. Okay, so give us the misinformation. Number one, you said, I haven't heard that one, that you're a California company.
Yeah, they were from California. Both the VP and I are born and raised in North Dakota. We've lived here our whole life. Moved away a little bit for graduate school and then moved back. Mm-hmm. It was put out there that we're residential. You know, people will be sleeping there. That's not true.
That's not true
they
at all.
They come for an hour a week.
Okay.
And then they go. You know, this individual talked about high-risk offenders. So the question has been raised, like, why can't they get treatment in prison, or you know, why do they go to Stand instead of prison? Stand is never an alternative okay. to prison. We work very closely with law enforcement and DOCR. That's who sends us the referrals okay. is DOCR. So the people that come to Stand have already served whatever sentence they're serving, and then they're released to the community.
Okay, so when somebody comes to Stand, if they had a prison sentence, they've already served
that.
Okay, they serve their time, but now they're out. But part of being out is they have to
go to treatment.
They go, and I suppose the amount of time it must vary depending on each individual, or
yeah, how long they're in treatment. Yeah, that will vary.
Okay, so all the years that you have been doing this, have you had any issues with reoffenses?
So unfortunately, yes. Mm-hmm. We've treated, you know, 400 individuals, roughly 400 in Fargo since 2014.
Okay.
We've had two known reoffenses.
Now, that's two too many, but that's pretty low.
Yeah. Well, as you said, that's two too many. Our goal is always zero, but that number is far less than it would be mm-hmm. if Stan didn't exist and do the work we did.
Did those two, because you're really not in a residential, this is going to be a stupid question, but that's what I do. You're not in a residential area now. You're by the Cass County Jail.
Correct.
So my question was going to be, of the two that reoffended, did they reoffend somewhere near the location where they got their treatment? But again, that's kind of a dumb question because there's no...
No, that's an excellent question. So what we know is that 60% of sexual abuse happens within the family.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody is likely to be victimized, there's a 60% chance that that's going to happen within the family. And if it's a child, there's a 90% chance that that perpetrator is going to be somebody already known to the family. So there's a 10% chance that that's going to be by a stranger. So the likelihood of reoffense happening by a stranger, by somebody riding the bus or walking through the community mm-hmm. is very low
okay.
compared to that being your baseball coach, your youth teacher, the superintendent of your school, your babysitter. Yeah. Stranger offenses are very rare.
Yeah, it says here in North Dakota, this is according to you, in North Dakota, 8 of the 1,121 clients Stand has served have reoffended. The organization said, giving the organization a recidivism rate of less than 1%. Nationwide, the rate for repeat offenders is 10%. Why is yours so low?
Well, thank you for that. One of the reasons is we are very committed to evidence-based treatment. I've been doing this for 30 years. I have dedicated my life and my career towards protecting this community, and I know what works. And so we have instituted, I don't want to bore people with, you know, research and evidence-based treatment, but we know what works, and we know how to provide that. And we're good at what we do. That's why nobody knew we were here for 10 years, because we're good at what we do. If we were not, you would have heard of us.
Yeah. I actually, first time I ever heard of you guys when this all popped, I didn't even know you existed. Jay, will you please ask the doctor how often a patient leaves their session and then goes to his school or other business and sexually offends someone?
Well, we don't have data on that. We will say that the individuals that we see are monitored closely by parole and probation. Some of them are on GPS monitoring. All of them receive regular polygraphs. Mm-hmm.
Really, you polygraph these folks?
Parole and probation does.
Oh, yeah, they do.
They do them at our clinic.
But the point is, how often do they get polygraphed?
It depends. Between quarterly and half once.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow. Another email, Jay, will you ask Dr. Benson if she believes that that the new sex offender rehab center being so close to the YWCA is appropriate or well thought out?
Thank you. The one thing I would like to say, too, is I know it comes out sex offender treatment facility. That does make us sound a little bigger than we are. Mm-hmm. So I just want to point out we have two full-time staff, two full-time clinical staff in Fargo. So we're kind of more clinic than a treatment facility. And as far as our proximity to the Y, we absolutely understand why people are concerned about that and why, why that's an issue. We work with the Y. The Y supports our mission.
Wait a minute. Hold on. So you guys actually work with the YWCA?
Well, let me say this. When I say work with, when I say the Y supports our mission, in 2018, the YWCA actually gave me an award of Woman of the Year for my work with sex offenders.
Okay.
So so we are partners with any organization that shares our mission, which is community safety. So we certainly understand people's concerns about us being a half a mile away from the Y, about the fact that it does share a bus line with our individuals. But I wouldn't have put a building into this location if I thought it brought a high risk to the neighborhood or anybody in it. This is my community. I love being part of this community.
Yeah, you'd be chastised very hard in the community.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this then, because there's a lot of concern. And again, I get it. Again, nothing against what you do, your stand business or clinic or treatment center. But again, if it was in my neighborhood, doctor, I'd be asking all the same questions. I'd probably be the same way. It's like, I don't want this in my neighborhood. But one of the big concerns was the YWCA. And when I first saw this, I thought, too, it's like, are you kidding me? The YWCA is just down the road. There's schools there. Has the YWCA said anything to you?
So the YWCA has remained neutral in their statement. They said, I believe their statement was, we have no authority, to be able to put any limitations on anybody who moves where we want, and we remain steadfast in our mission.
So what that tells me, I mean, I can't speak for the YWCA, but to me, I mean, if they were really concerned, I would think that the YWCA would come out and say something. Hey, look, this is what we do. We don't feel good about having this six blocks down the road, but they have not said that. Has the Fargo Public Schools said anything?
Well, I believe the schools have reached out to the mayor with concern.
Okay.
That's my understanding. We have not heard directly from the schools, but But I'm sure that there are individuals within the school that have concerns, just as there are individuals in other businesses and neighborhoods.
Okay, so earlier you and I were talking. There's a possibility that you can stay in your current location?
Yes.
All right, why is that? Because you couldn't put an addition up on top. What can you do now? Boot parole and probation out of there, whoever's in there? Get the hell out of our building! Yeah, I don't think it works that way.
So there's a situation that we had...
Hold on. She said it, Ronnie. I have to. She said it.
Uh-oh. Oh, situation?
We got a situation.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So there was something that we've been pursuing, started back in 2021. We've checked back into this option a number of different times, but it was never a viable option. And serendipitously, it looks like it may be now. So unfortunately, because we're 99% there and not 100% there, I don't have the authority to say what that is. Mm-hmm. But it's looking very good that we have worked something out that allows us to stay there.
Okay. So before everybody starts applauding, going, oh, yeah. Just hold on. It's not 100% there, but you're saying there's a good chance. What happens then? Do you actually own the Cornerstone Bank now? Or
we do.
So you have to turn around and sell that?
Yes. Sell it, rent it, hold on to it for investment, whatever might be.
Let me ask you this, Doc.
I mean, if you guys possess the ownership of that building, if it happens where you're going to stay in the current location, could you sell that building then and use the money for treatment, other options, all the things that you do?
Well, no, because they don't need it because you're funded by the state. Correct? Now, that money that was used to buy that building, is that state and federal funds, right?
So that's Stand money.
Oh, that is actually your money.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Stand okay. Money. So that was odd. Okay.
Yeah, because, I mean, I would see a dual benefit. I mean, then you're able to continue to provide services or some even more in instances of the work you already do.
Yeah. So because this situation... oh, dang it. Do you got to play situation again?
No.
Uh-oh. We got a situation.
And if you say the word absolutely?
Absolutely, Bob.
All right.
I feel like I'm playing Taboo, whatever that game
yeah,
is.
Yeah, exactly.
Because this solution was just very, very recent, like we have not had an opportunity to talk with our board of directors or anybody about what our options are. So this is, it's way too soon for us to think about what that might look like, yeah. But there's lots of options on the table.
I don't know what this is. Email, what is coming to Fargo after 20 years? Who, when, where?
Oh, thanks. I know you were going to mention it yesterday, and I don't think we ever got to it.
There's been
a big news story.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. You'll love this. So Londa, our sales guru, okay? She's one of our sales goddesses here. Wow, Ronnie. She's calling my cell phone.
While you're on it?
While I'm on the air.
Hmm.
So evidently she is not listening to this program that likes to identify as number one. You got to be kidding me. She's calling my phone. She knows I'm on the air. So when do you think, Dr. Benson, you would know more than on this possibility of staying at the old place?
Yeah, so there's a few different meetings that have to happen with strategic partners. We have to talk with our board. The mayor had asked us to come back to the meeting in 2 weeks. It's now been a week. So I'm hoping by the time we have our next meeting with the mayor, which will probably be next week, we would be at 100%.
Email says... I feel even more confident that this center would be absolutely fine in my South University area. And somebody lives in that neighborhood. So, and that's why I wanted to get you on. I mean, I'm not taking sides either way. Like I said, honestly, nothing against what you do, Dr. Benson. I mean, if this wasn't done, we would have bigger problems.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I'd be the same way. I don't want this in my neighborhood. I get it. But a point that was brought up yesterday, too, was from somebody that lives in that neighborhood, was that, look, this isn't buried in the neighborhood. This is right out on University Drive. It's right there. And, you know, we already have sex offenders living in our neighborhood, taking our buses already. So they said, well, they didn't have a problem with this at all. So, Another email says, Southeast Human Service Center here in Fargo provided the sex offender treatment program up until says the latest in 2018. Some of these offenders are in the program for a minimum of 5 years. Does Southeast Human Services still do this treatment, or is it strictly you guys?
Yeah, no, it's just us.
Okay. I just want to make sure I got everybody's emails. I cannot believe the amount of crypto coin emails I got. My God, I should have started talking about that at 2 o'clock this afternoon instead of ripping on Dean Wysocki. Well, we got somebody coming on tomorrow, folks. All right, what would you like to say to folks out there listening that are concerned? What is your words to them, Dr. Benson?
You know, I would say I completely understand their fear and their anger. I'm a mom myself, and I know that, you know, I watch the news, and there's some nights that I hug my kids a little bit tighter.
We all do.
Right? And so I understand that, and I am deeply sorry that the way this has been handled has resulted in what I'm sure have been sleepless nights and horrible thoughts of what if.
Oh, yeah.
And I wish that that had not happened, and I'm sorry for the way that it did.
If there was a building that was available in the neighborhood that you and your family reside in, would you feel comfortable putting stand in your neighborhood?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I have confident. Friends and family that live in the South University neighborhood.
Oh, you do? Okay. Do. And what are their thoughts on it that live in that neighborhood?
They've been supportive.
They've been supportive of it? All right. So what is your background? How did you get into this? How tough is this? I mean, you're dealing with some... I have law enforcement friends that deal with sex crimes, and I just... What you have to deal with and what you hear, maybe not so much in your situation, what you see as it would be for a detective, but you and your people got to hear some. So how do you deal with that?
Yeah, thank you for that question. So how I got into this, actually, my entire early career was working with victims. Mm-hmm. And that's what I thought was going to be my long-term plan. I ended up, I'll make this long story short, it's a longer story and a stronger drink to go all the way into this.
Okay.
But I ended up working in a federal prison. I ended up...
Jeez, where at?
Florida.
Oh, really? What federal prison in Florida?
FCI Tallahassee.
Oh, yeah. I spent some time there. No, I'm kidding. I didn't. I'm kidding. So I'll be... Oh, my God. We found out
she was say, I'll mark that under things I didn't
it's
know.
It's a woman's prison, Jay.
Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, I guess, in this day and age. So you worked in a federal prison?
I worked in a federal prison, and it was also a male. There was a male... area. But then I got a job working at Southeast Human Service Center with kids.
Okay.
But between the time I was offered the job and the time my job started, North Dakota passed a law that said everybody who, you know, needs to have an evaluation, sex offenders at the Human Service Center. So since I was the new hire and nobody else wanted it.
You got it.
I got the crappy office.
Oh, boy.
And I got this job.
Thanks a lot, North Dakota.
But I've loved it.
Yeah.
I've loved this work. It's hard work. You hear things you don't want to hear. You see things you don't want to see. But to be honored with the job of partnering with law enforcement to protect this community has been a mission that I've never regretted.
How is law enforcement with have you talked to law enforcement? Has law enforcement reached out to you about this possible move in into that area?
Well, we've been in close conversations with the Department of Corrections. Mm-hmm. You know, that's really, like I said, that's where we get our referrals. We are in constant conversations with them. We have meetings with them about the clients frequently. And so, you know, we have been in communication with them every step of the way.
All right. Like I said, I don't. Do you go get counseling? I applaud people that can go in and do work like this because of what you have to, you know, like in your case here and, you know, on a day-to-day basis. That's got to be just absolutely, absolutely tough. If you weren't doing this, what else would you do?
I'd be doing this, Jay.
This is it. Really, you enjoy it that much.
I do.
That's, well, good for you. Good for you. All right. Anything else before I let you roll? I think we're about out of time. You got anything else?
No.
You're done?
Sorry, I didn't know you were talking to me.
Yeah, yeah, that's yeah, I'm talking to you.
No, I just want to thank you for giving us the opportunity, giving mm-hmm. me the opportunity to come out here and answer some of those questions and to be able to hopefully let people know a little bit more about what we do and reduce some of the fear.
Do you need this,
Mike? Sure.
Oh, you know what? Do you have another? Yeah, just in case. I better hang on to that one just in case. Were you afraid to come on the show? Did you think I was going to beat the heck out of you?
Well, I wasn't thinking I was maybe coming into the friendliest of places.
Why do people always think that of me, Roddy? I get that all the time.
I don't know. It might be that deep, gruff voice you have. I don't know.
Are you kidding me? I'm not going to say who this is from, but I want to read this text message I got. It said, hey, Jay, make sure you're nice to Dr. Benson. She's the real deal. Made a huge difference in the community. Works with prosecutors, defense lawyers, probation officers, social workers, law enforcement, correction officials, and others across the country. She's a leading national expert. Her efforts are protecting the community, not exposing it to risk. And I'm not going to say who that came from, but I'm just going to say it's from somebody that really would know, would really, really know. So, real quick here. Did she say she is 99% sure she is staying at current location or 99% she will be moving into the Cornerstone location? Can call in, but the clarification would help. You said 99%
sure that we will not
be
moving
over there
to Cornerstone.
All right. Yes. So there you go. There's your answer to that. 99% sure you won't be moving, that you're going to be able to stay in your current spot.
Yes.
And you'll keep us in the loop on that.
I will do that.
Well, I'll say this, Doc. I mean, hearing what I've heard today, I'm glad we've got somebody like you around making sure that people get their treatment and protecting our community doing what you do.
Well, and I know there's going to be some people whose minds aren't eased, and I completely understand that. I 100%. When we're talking sex offenders, that's, you know, I could spend 3 hours going off on that stuff. I get where they're coming from, but I think you eased some concerns today. I really do. And
I hope so.
I'm glad that you were able to come on the program and just hang out and be one of us and just let people know what's going on. So, Dr. Benson, it's been a pleasure, man. It was fun.
It has been fun.
All right. If you're bored tomorrow, come hang out with us. It's a Friday. We do nothing except screw around for 3 hours. Yeah, that's right. Yacht Rock Friday tomorrow. All your favorite Yacht Rock bumper music. All right, man. I got to get out of here. News is next. Back. Yeah, it's Friday. I'll be working. Can you believe that? Back tomorrow, too. News is next.
Unexpected breakdowns on the field are infuriating and cost you time and money. When you don't have time to wait, call Advanced Diesel Repair. This is Ricky Magnus, owner of Advanced Diesel. We're your trusted partner in getting you back in the field fast. Our technicians specialize in swift diagnostic and top-notch repairs, ensuring your diesel equipment is up and running in no time. With Advanced Diesel Repair, you can count on reliable service and minimal disruptions to your farming operation.
Contact Advanced Diesel Repair today at 701-367-6018 or online at adrofhorace.com.
Time now for Focus on the Field with your Ag Director, Agriculturalist Bridget Riedel.
In October of 1913, Castleton was in the midst of its first state corn show. Businessmen in the city had planned to show and highlight agriculture of the state, especially the growing and manufacturing of several varieties of corn harvested in North Dakota. The city had raised $1,500 to fund the event and invested several months of prep in putting the show together. There was a 25-man band from Fargo, dozens of business booths featuring North Dakota products, hot air balloon rides, carnivals, a homemaker's tent, and a highlight of agricultural exhibits and demonstrations. The decorating committee covered the city in yellow, green, and white, and a gigantic arch made of corn and fodder was erected on the city's main street.
That's today's Focus on the Field with Bridget Riedel, your ag industry expert. Tune in for Bridget's Ag News Updates each weekday here on WDAY. Stick around. WDAY-TV News begins at 5. Brought to you by Harley-Davidson of Fargo, with the largest selection of new and pre-owned motorcycles in North Dakota. This is WDAY Radio, AM 970 and FM 93.1 WDAY and K226CL, Fargo, Moorhead, West Fargo.
News leader, WDAY.
Now at 5, the wicked winds in Wahpeton are a thing of the past, and more changes are in store for the weekend. Jessie's tracking temperatures flirting with the 40s in her storm tracker forecast. giving the community a chance to learn about their mission, how a nonprofit is showcasing its work to improve the lives of single moms and their families. And a Fargo bakery was forced to close today after their oven broke, how much they were forced to throw away, and why the owner says the decision to close was simple. Good evening, everyone. Thanks for joining us. While the temperatures haven't changed much today, everything else